Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, for watching. Usually before this year, Harvey, on behalf of the Chabura, we make announcements. We skip these announcements most of the weeks here online, but I think this week, tonight is the Yeshiva's dinner. This year it becomes a virtual dinner. And in general, I think Harvey always makes an announcement, you know, for Hakaras HaTov for the Yeshiva. And especially this year, one of the people the Yeshiva is honoring is our own Avram Eliezer Friedman, who is involved in everything tech in this Yeshiva, including this setup for the live stream we've been doing online for months. And he was involved when we did it live too. And definitely someone who puts a lot into the share. Just to show you how much he put us in, Baruch Hashem, you got a Mazel Tov. He had a baby on Thursday night, a baby boy, Baruch Hashem, everyone's okay. But he was on the way to the hospital to pick up his wife, yet he was still figuring out how to set up the share for this morning. So a big thank you to Avram Eliezer Freeman on behalf of the share, really on behalf of the whole yeshiva. Anyone who wants to tune in, the dinner will be live streamed just like the share at YTCTE, I think, /dinner tonight at 8 p.m. So anyone is welcome to participate, to watch. Nowadays, just by watching, you're a participant in the comfort of your home. So a big yashar koach to everyone involved with the yeshiva. And Bez Hashem, they should have much hatzlacha. Today's share is a special share on a halachic personality. And we do this every so often. In fact, I've gotten so much positive feedback from these. It's a halacha share, but from a different standpoint. Instead of talking about a topic and quoting people, it's the other way. We're talking about a person and quote some halachas of his and put in perspective. And this shir is on Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, Zatzal. He's someone who just passed away, Rosh Chodesh Elul, which fell out this year, still in the summer. And news does not travel as well in the summer as it does the rest of the year. And in general, he was someone who was a big anav and not as well known as others. You know, David Feinstein gave a share that we gave a share on earlier this year. He also was a tremendous anav, but he was quite well known, for sure, in circles in America. Zalman Nechemia Goldberg may not have been as well known to the average Joe in the shtiebel, average person in the frum world, but to people whose lives he touched, he was a legend, and we'll learn a lot about that, hopefully today. What particularly intrigued me about him, I must admit, I don't know that I ever met him. Thinking back, there was one time he probably came to yeshiva, there was an event, Lezirka Nisva Shel Shlomo Zalman, and I'll get to that with his father-in-law, Shlomo Zalman Orbach. But it could be I saw him, but I never definitely interacted with him, never spoke to him in halacha, and I do feel very bad. What intrigued me about him is the description that I read in Mishpacha magazine. The Lashon basically goes like this. It depicted the scene, start of an article. It depicted the scene of the Shiva house by the Goldberg family. All the people, just a few months ago, Shodesh Elul time, who came to Menachem Avol, the Goldberg family, or the Petira of Hagoyin, Zalman Nechemia. And the scene was, in this small Yerushalmi apartment, you have a Rebbe, a Hasidish Rebbe, together with a few of his gabbais, an entourage. Another spot, you have a Svarti Dayan. In another corner is sitting a Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva. In the front row is some Rav in a Moshav somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. And in between them all, you have like some college professor with his cap on taking notes of everything going on in the house. That room, which is probably an absolute microcosm of all types of Jews living, I would use the words, together in Eretz Yisrael, Lamaisa, you don't find that so often. You don't find it that there's some Haredi rabbi that reached out to such a circle. I dare say he probably had, you know, one of the largest circles just from the means of how many people he was able to touch from all different backgrounds of probably any posek in a long time. And that itself, when I read that, when I heard of that, that was something that said, I want to know more about this person. And Be'ezus Hashem, I endeavor in today's share that by the time it's over, that everyone in our audience, which I'm not sure is as vast as that picture, but everyone too would want to be part of knowing the world of Reb Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. To begin first with a little bit of biological sketch before we get into some of his psalkim and halacha, which I believe paint a tremendous picture. Again, I would preface before I even talk about his psalkim, somebody who didn't write a lot of psalkim. He wrote articles. He wrote tshuvas. But there's definitely not a collection of his individual psalkim. I mean, he was published even as it was published in the Ated had a column that quoted him almost every week. But no one collected them yet. And finding his psalkim also was not as easy as I thought it might be. I have multiple articles he wrote. I went through haskamas that he wrote. A lot of times when he wrote a haskama to a sefer, he wrote with ha'aros on the sefer. And that was definitely very insightful to understanding him. But we'll get to that all soon. But first, who was this Reb Zalman Nechemya Goldberg? So he was born 87 years ago in Russia, Minsk. His father was a Rav. In those times, fortunately, the communists were very rough on Jewish people, especially people teaching Torah, keeping mitzvos. And the Goldberg family, especially Rav Goldberg, his father, struggled with keeping themselves away from the KGB. Zalman Nechemya was born, and his father, they even took him home from the hospital early. They shouldn't figure out if he's going to have a bris or not. They performed the bris. The day after the bris, his father was arrested by the KGB, sent to Siberia, and for all that the family would know, who said they would ever see him again? Seemed right before he was being taken away, he sent a message to another Rav there in Minsk, you have to take achrayas of my son. He was so nervous, what's going to be with my son? And they took him away. Officially in the charge of teaching Torah. I read an amazing story about Rav Zalman Nechama's father. At one point, the KGB was interrogating him and trying to break his spirit, which unfortunately these Russian monsters were successful in the many Jews. You know, Russian community, you know, we probably don't focus as much in history on what the Russians did to the Jews as much as the Germans, Yimach Shemam. But Esav, Sonias, Yaakov, they all did tremendous suffering, pain they brought in Klal Yisrael. But more than that, you know, how many nefashos were lost by their antagonistic, their whole means of existence was to attack Jews. And here in the interrogation, this KGB officer told the elder Rav Goldberg, he says, "Why do you insist on being religious? Don't you know that my grandchildren and your grandchildren are all going to be the same? They're all going to be secular. No one's going to be clinging to religion. What's the point? Why are you teaching Torah?" And especially as he was sitting there, the elder of Goldberg, not knowing the future, what's going to be with his son, Zalman Nechemia, those are painful words. Boy, the psychology of knowing how to break a person. But Zalman Nechemia's father determined at that moment, not only am I going to make sure that your words are not true, that my son will remain a religious Jew, my grandchildren will remain religious Jews, but I'm going to do everything in my power if he gets out of this prison to ensure that he becomes an Adam Gadol. Perhaps it was that Kabbalah itself which brought about the amazing Nes. What seemingly would have been decades in Siberia, somehow he was able to get out in like 9 to 10 months. He escaped, he got out, and first thing they did was they left Russia and they made it to Eretz Yisrael. Amazing turn of events. The Goldberg family got out and they went to Eretz Yisrael. And young Zalman Nechemia went to Yerushalmi Chadarim, Shiva Tzvar Tzvi, Shiva Eitz Chaim. And his father was determined he's going to do everything in his power to ensure that he becomes an Olam Gadol. He continued from the small yeshivas to Yeshivas Chevron, where he emerged as one of the top bachrim. His father discussed with the Chazon Ish what he should do with his son. At that point, the Chazon Ish recommended him he comes to Bnei Brak and learn in the young, fledging Panovich Yeshiva. And that's what his son did. In fact, in Panovich at that time, they started an elite Chabura of Talmidim, where they had pretty strong Hasagos for people to go through the entire Shas in 1 year. Okay, not a program that's really adopted anywhere that I know of today. But that's what they had, such a program. Well, I guess part of the reason they don't have that too much in yeshivas today, for a Talmud to go through all of Shas in 1 year, full-time in yeshiva, is probably is too much. And it was too much going back 70 years ago in Bnei Brak, in the fledging young Yeshivas Panovich. But there was one bacher who was part of that chabura that succeeded in it. That was Zalman Nechemia. And he didn't just succeed, he knew it backwards and forwards. Obviously he had a brilliant, brilliant mind. He's very diligent, a big masmid. And word started getting out that the Zamnin Nechemya Goldberg is an amazing, amazing Talmud. Fact, Shlomo Zalman Orbach was looking for a shidduch for his daughter and was recommended the match of Zalman Nechemya. So Shlomo Zalman figured, you know, you got a feher, you got to test, you know, the bacher. He spent days talking to him and learning. He was blown away. Not only did he know basic Gemaras, everything throughout Shas, Shlomo Zalman, famed years ago, he wrote a perush on Sefer Shef Shmaitza, on the ultimate Lamdish Svarim. Zalman Nechemya was holding fully in that. Absolute Ian and Bekias, this young Talmud Chacham had. And the match went through. Shlomo Zalman marrying the daughter, Shlomo Zalman Orbach's daughter, marrying this young Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. In fact, I saw a story, you know, when they got married, they lived in total poverty. Shlomo Zalman didn't have money. They got married Yerushalmi style for poor Yerushalayim in those days. They got married on Friday afternoon, and the Shabbos Suda was the wedding Suda. They double dipped. They couldn't afford a separate Suda. The Shabbos Suda was for family. That was the wedding Suda. Being the fact they got married Friday afternoon, so okay. What do you serve at the smorgasbord? I'm sure it wasn't much of a smorgasbord, but I saw the story. It seems at that point in time, the Israeli government gave out rations to the people of sardines. The Orbach family saved up a few of those government program sardines, and they gave it out. I mentioned the story over to the Talmidim. I'm like, you know, everyone today knows all across America, thanks to the government during COVID, we have these kosher food boxes. You know, it would look, unfortunately, nebuch, if someone makes a wedding and the Kabbalah's panim, the smorgasbord, is an array of things out of the box. We all have the same boxes and you're serving us the same sardines. So that was the poverty they lived. Zalman Nechemya, they got a small little apartment outside of where till then, it was the main yeshiva in Yerushalayim. They lived in that apartment their whole life. And he learned first in Kamenetz Kolel, but pretty soon, the world started realizing that this is a primed Talmud Chacham, knew so much. He was already appointed a dayan at the age of 30. Someone of the stature, fact of Rebbe Elyashiv himself, gave Zalman Nechemya Goldberg smicha. And from that point on, Zalman Nechemya was involved in Piskei Halacha in Klal Yisrael. From the age of 30, for the next 57 years, constantly, Zalman Nechemya was called on to Paskin Shailas. And it's amazing the amount of positions that he held. He was Rosh Yeshiva in Sadigor. Chassidus, they had a yeshiva right there down Shmuel HaNavi. He was also Rosh Yeshiva in an institution called Machon Lev. A technology college Torah program in Eretz Yisrael. So figure that. On the one hand, he's a Rosh Yeshiva and a Chassidish Yeshiva. On the other hand, he's teaching, you know, in Machon Lev, a religious Zionist, Mizrahi Yeshiva. Wearing two hats. Quite different. He, for years, had a kolon in Yerushalayim, besides his other positions. He served as a dayan throughout the ages, different times, called for different things. There's a point he was a dayan together with Yibadal L'chaim or Shlomo Fisher, who was an absolute gaon. And at the same time, he had all these positions. He gave shiurim all the time. Institutions across the board. He gave shiur in Chabad, which he actually lived right near in his neighborhood, and actually had some ties to Chabad dating back to Russia. He gave shiurim in yeshivas Keren B'Yavne, yeshiva Shalvim, everywhere and anywhere. Hasidish yeshiva, Litvish yeshiva, Mizrahi yeshiva, Svarti yeshiva, everything. Whoever wanted to hear Torah from him. And he would travel. He would travel everywhere and anywhere, not with a personal driver, but by taking buses. Something which I saw everyone who knew him pointed out. He was such a tremendous anav. And he never would take, didn't have a gabbai, didn't have people protecting him. He just did his thing, traveled to places to give shiurim, teach Torah, no ears about him. And that itself is probably a tremendous underlying reason why he was able to reach so many different factions. And we'll talk about this. So that's, I believe, a basic background of who Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg was. Definitely sounds interesting. What I'd like to do now is focus on three areas of, I would say, three areas of halacha which paint the picture of who this person was. The three topics that I'm going to talk about is firstly his knowledge of Choshen Mishpat and Azer, those two halakim of Shulchan Aruch, followed by Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg's wide and very popular range of giving smicha, his bachinas and smicha, and ordaining many, many rabbis throughout the decades. And the third area, which is the subtitle of today's share, is whose reach was from Kiryat Belz to Tinek. Now, touch on the first one. This probably I'll spend the most time. His great knowledge of Choshen Mishpat and Evan Azar. Years ago, someone came to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach with the Shaila. Rav Shlomo Zalman was very, very close to Reb Zalman Nechemia. It's interesting. Just the names themselves is, you know, teach you halacha. You know, there's a thing that a father-in-law and a son-in-law shouldn't have the same name. Shlomo Zalman and Zalman Nechemia shared a name. But many posts can hold as long as there's a difference in the name. One is Shlomo Zalman, one is Zalman Nechemia. That's okay. So, Shlomo Zalman and his son-in-law was super close. And many times, Shlomo Zalman would ask Shailas to him, ask for Mar Makomos. He was such a bucky, Zalman Nechemia. So one time, there was a tough Shaila in Eben Ezer, Choshen Mishpat. And the person asked him, Shlomo Zalman, what should he do? Shlomo Zalman wasn't sure. And he said, you should go ask Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. Now, it could be that the questionnaire didn't know the relationship between Shlomo Zalman and Reb Zalman Nechemia. And it could be that the questioner knew of this perception, knew that Reb Zalman Nechemia, you know, was all over the place. He wasn't only in the Haredi world. He was in the Mizrahi world. He was, and asked, you know, is he someone that's reliable? So Shlomo Zalman very comfortably put him in his place and told this individual that I believe he's the biggest authority, Choshen Mishpat and Evan Azar, in the world today. quite a statement. Shlomo Zalman was someone who was able to see beyond his negias, and he was the son-in-law. Shlomo Zalman felt that he was the absolute authority. If you had a shayla in monetary issues of Chosh Mishpat, in Evan Ozer, issues involving marriage, and the like. And he made this statement 30 years ago. Maven Yavin, there were chashuv of people in the world 30 years ago too. Shlomo Zalman felt that his son-in-law, Zalman Nechemia, in these areas was the absolute bucky. And Rav Shlomo Zalman did spend a lot of time in Choshen Mishpat and Eben Ezer. In fact, he wrote later years the Sefer on Simanim in Choshen Mishpat. I tried tracking it down here in South Florida to no avail. I believe it's called the Mishpat Arach on different Simanim in Choshen Mishpat. In general, I came across a very interesting comment that Zalman Nechemia made when it came to Choshen Mishpat and Evan Ezer. Recently, a Talmud of mine was asking me, he's not in yeshiva, he's working, and was looking into different programs, svarim, to get, to be involved with. He asked me, Rebbe, is it kedai, to learn, say, for Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? Good question. Yeshiva, for the most part, our siddurim, our Mishnah Berurah. We learn, we are the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva, after all. But, so he was asking, hey, I'm not Yeshiva, is it kedai for me to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? And I was happy to say that I encouraged him, sure. But when I saw this article about Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, gave me so much more chizuk to my answer. I told my Talmud, should pay attention to today's share. Zalman Nechemia pushed strongly that people should learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for the following reason. That the Mishnah Berurah is on Aruch Chaim, and it's a wonderful sefer. It's lengthy, Kitzur is shorter, but wonderful sefer, you want to learn Aruch Chaim. But in the Kitzur, he goes through not just Aruch Chaim, but basic halachas in Yerodea, which, okay, some people are already familiar with Yerodea once you get married. Hopefully your wife is familiar with it. You should be too, if they allow men in the kitchen. But Choshen Mishpat Evan Ezer, unfortunately people don't know. And the most basic level of knowledge of Choshen Mishpat Evan Ezer, you could get by learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And Zalman Nechemia felt, you want people to ask the right shaylos, you want people to be involved, they should know Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. They'll know when they have a shaylah in Choshen Mishpat. They'll know they'll have a shaylah in Evan Ezer. And he very much encouraged people to learn Kitzur. Important thing. I'll first begin with Chelek Evan Ezer, some Piskei Halachas. We see the greatness of Rav Zalman Nechemia, and then from there we'll go off to Choshen Mishpat. Came across that the Belzer Rebbe, current Belzer Rebbe, trusted Rav Zalman Nechemia in shilohs of infertility. Baruch Hashem, the firm world, we mentioned it a couple of shiurim ago, the wonderful organizations, Bonei Olam, A-Time, that are involved with helping people with infertility issues. And there are many shaylos and new treatments that come out. And there's a shaylo, many times there are shaylos in halacha. Is this acceptable? Are you allowed to do this? And the Belzer Rebbe was dealing with one of his chassidim that had these problems. And he found out there was a new treatment that just became available. But Belzer Rebbe wanted to know if it was good or not. So he sent Shaila to Zalman Nechemia. This is Zalman Nechemia's last year of life. He was already weaker. He was nifter. Not of COVID. The age of 87, as we mentioned just earlier. And he sent the Shaila to Reb Zalman Nechemia. Reb Zalman Nechemia for the Rebbe might have dropped other things, spent 2 hours, and 2 hours later, he had a tshuva written up, ready to give over to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe tried to figure out, okay, did the message get to this person? Could get be on top of it right away, do the treatments. So the Rebbe entrusted that the Rosh Kolo to convey the psak to that chassid. The Rebbe called back the Rosh Kolo later in the day, and the Rosh Kolo said he didn't get a chance to speak to the chassid. He figured he'll do it after Seder later today. So the Belzer Rebbe gave Tolchacha to this Rosh Kolo. He's like, Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. When he realized that this is a shadow of infertility, had a tshuva written in 2 hours, and knew it's going to take hours to get the message to the person. Reb Zalman Nechemia had not only a tremendous kikias and a havana, Neven Ozer, but that was his life. Whatever I could do to help out somebody, I'm going to do it. Check, check. I heard a hesped from Rav Mordechai Willig, from Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, and he was very close to Rav Zalman Nechemia. I believe he said, after 9/11, I believe it was just issues that Mordechai Willig himself was involved with Reb Zalman Nechemia. Reb Zalman Nechemia martyred 8 agunas, 8 situations of people who, Rachman Son, lost men who were lost in the Twin Towers. Reb Zalman Nechemia was able to martyr their wives. He was able to be matar agunas, which we know is one of the toughest areas of halacha. You have to have the broadest shoulders to do that. He helped out in America. He helped out in Eretz Yisrael. For a time, you know, bureaucracy, the Israeli army had in place, Baruch Hashem, good standards when it came to aguna issues, the shells of soldiers being identified. So that was being done on Pialacha for decades. But when there were localized issues involving the Israeli police did not have the same standards as the army, and those standards were not Alpi Halacha. And Reb Zalman Nechemia himself, together with some of his Talmidim, worked very hard eventually reforming the policies of the Israeli police, enabling that unfortunate identifications in localized Rachmon Slan misas in Eretz Yisrael would also be done al pi halacha, so that the wives of the victims could get remarried. Another case involving a different type of aguna that Reb Zalman Nechemia was involved with. I remember this as a kid. There was a situation in New York, Rachmon Tzlan, a rough divorce going on between two Orthodox individuals, and the husband decided he has a ploy of how to win. He basically warned his wife and those representing her that you better back off on your demands, because you know what I just did? I just did Kedushin to our daughter, who's a Ketana, Kedusha Ketana. I'm not telling you to who, and thus she'll never be able to get remarried. Never be able to get married. Obviously, a most despicable thing for someone to do, to utilize halacha against one's family to achieve your means. Despicable. I remember the outrage. That much I remember as a kid, this outrage about this case of Kedusha Ketana. But Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg was the one involved in the trenches, going through the halacha and devising a plan how to fight back against his husband. All different shalos of agunas, 9/11, Israeli police situations, Kiddushei Tana here in America, the address, someone who was involved helping out was this Reb Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. There's another area probably deserves its own share, but also involving unfortunately Gittin. We know to be involved in Gittin, Gemara says Koshein Dina, someone who doesn't know the Tiv Gittin V'Kedushin and La'isikun. You gotta be an absolute bucky to be involved in Gittin and all these things. There aren't so many. And the firm world is grappling with divorces and unfortunately not so amicable situations, lots of fighting. And at first, okay, there were different legislation. There's the New York Gett Law was something that was done over the ages. And those are not necessarily accepted everywhere, didn't necessarily work. The RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America, came up with the prenuptial agreement going back a few decades. And it's something, I know it's talked about in different circles, why, you know, people pushing for it to become even more widespread to sign a prenuptial agreement, which could help alleviate issues of chas v'shalom, the situation turns to a get. And there is definitely a certain amount of controversy involved in such an idea, because one of the most basic halachas is nowadays we don't do what we call a forced get. Right? Some people might know of physical force that was sometimes you have scandals like this, they get involved with that. But here we're talking about setting up a situation where there might be some agreement which might force a person to give a get. And there's debate, is that acceptable or not? And I heard from Mordechai Willig that Reb Zalman Nechemya was the one who was behind them. Willig met with him many times. He drafted up resolutions and there were hawks on it. And he went back to him and he changed this and he changed that. And through the years, you know, Reb Zalman Nechemya has been one of the big proponents of it. I saw there's a whole website that talks about the prenuptial agreement and has today the haskama of others, including Asher Weiss. And basically set up a situation where the person agrees before they get married that if the marriage is not going to be resolved, if it's going to go to a get, till the get comes, there is a payment that the husband is going to give on a daily basis, which that itself will encourage the get not to drag out. And Reb Zalman Nechemya was the driving force behind this psak halacha. So those are all areas of Eben Ezer that Reb Zalman Nechemya, who again Reb Shlomo Zalman considered him one of the greatest in this area, to be, was very involved in not just Israeli society, but very much so here in America. And you didn't necessarily see his name on the forefront, but he was there. He was the one behind the Rabbanim who gave him the strength to and the halachic backing to do it. The Choshen Mishpat, I came across an amazing article that, an amazing tshuva that Zalman Nechemya wrote on the concept of Pshara. Pshara, it's actually a Gemara we quoted last week in the share. This Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Beis, I put on, again, on today's Mar Makomos. Right? Remember the Gemara talked about that if you have a small passageway and only one person could get through, the person with the bigger load gets Kedima. What happens if they're equal? We each have our load. So the Gemara says that's an example of tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, the darshan from the pasuk. Sometimes you do din, sometimes you do a pshara. Pshara means an agreement. And a lot of what's done today in bezdins are psharas, is they make agreements, some type of arbitration between the two sides. And Rambam Nechemya, with his tremendous bakias and being a dayan, as we said, for over 50 years, he understood the courts, the bezdin, well, and he would, in this article, in this tshuva, he very much advocates to be involved with psharas. And I read through it, I was just amazed. The amazing grip of Choshen Mishpat that Zalman Nechemya had. And he says, why should it that people advocate to do a pshara versus a din? He gives an example. Let's say, unfortunately, one Jew is accusing another Jew of stealing from him. So what's the halacha? Ain't holchin b'mamon achar rov. When it comes to monetary matters, we don't go after a majority. We keep the money where it is, unless you can prove it with two eidim. You have a great claim. You have in halacha what you call a migu. Believe it, I've done the truth. You have a quasi-proof, solid proof that you're telling the truth. Do you have two eidim? Are there two witnesses that could back up your claim? In halacha b'mamonach arov, a rov is not good enough. Migu v'hotzi lo amrinan, we wouldn't go after your proof of a migu. You need a very strong standard of two eidim. Rizam Lechem said practically, I see the cases. There are many times which me as a dayan, if you ask me to judge the case, I don't have two eidim here. I don't have proof. But if you want me to arbitrate the case, Zalman Nechemya goes through that l'chora there could be cases where a rov, where a migu, where these factors may not be accepted al pi din if I'm judging a case, but if I'm arbitrating a case, if I'm looking for a pshara, so then that would be fair game. And that's one of the reasons he says that people should come to Beis Din. Sometimes it may not be in your best interest to look for din. It might be smarter to look for a pshara, look for an arbitration, because then, and it goes through in the tshuva, you know, what proof could be good, not good. Obviously, a lot of these things are dependent on the case itself. He says further, he goes through the whole concept of sumchis, he says this is also the concept of a pshara. I saw a rav in Tinek of Chaim Jachter brought that Rav Zalman Nechemya talked about copyright laws. Copyright laws is very tricky, right? It's all intellectual property. What exactly are you stealing? Normally by Geneva, there's a king in Geneva. What exactly is going on? How do you stop a person from taking something like that? And Zalman Nechemya has a brilliant idea. Is the reason why it's Geneva is because I never sold that to you in the first place. There's a concept of shir b'kinyana. He talks about, you know, I could sell an animal, but I'm keeping, let's say, the benefits of the wool. It's still mine. So I saw this actually in a lot of Jewish media. I'm not selling you this CD that now you own the CD. I'm selling you this CD that you have the right to listen to the music. But I'm holding back the ownership of that you can't go and copy it. I never sold that to you. Obviously, there are other poets that say different, but the concept that the Zalman Nehemiah was Machadish was, no, when I sell you something, sometimes I'm holding back something in that sale. And therefore you have no rights to it. It's not that you have it already. You never got it in the first place. That's one area. The area of absolute expertise in Choshen Mishpat, as well as Eben Ezer. Another facet, which I think was very much part of Rizam Nehemia, was aside from the Israeli rabbinate, he was the most popular smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha by Rizam Nehemia was very, very popular. Some might say widespread. Use the words easy. And there are many people that got smicha through him. Full disclosure. You know, in the world today, there's two types of ways you get smicha. You know, there's what you call an institutional smicha. I guess I'm one of those rabbis. You know, I learned in yeshiva for many years. My yeshiva has a rigorous smicha program. And if you go through the whole yeshiva program, you're able to get that smicha. That's an institutional yeshiva. Chavetz Chaim gives smicha. Meir Yisrael gives smicha. You know, different yeshivas have programs. Then there's what you call private smicha, where, look, in America, Moshe Hyman from Baltimore is probably the equivalent of what Zalman Nehemia Goldberg did in Eretz Yisrael. Is look, people take tests, and he doesn't have to know you ahead of time. You did whatever you did in your Torah learning before, and he's just there to give you a test. And to a certain extent, the standards are different. You know, to his credit, Zalman Nehemia, before anyone got speaking from him, you had to have a letter from someone introducing you, from some accepted Rav, Rosh Yeshiva. He also would read out. He would very much be nervous of in the past decade of segments, you know, as we mentioned before, Zalman Nehemia reached all spectrums of Orthodox Judaism. He was not one to discriminate. That being said, he refused to give smicha for anyone who went through Chovevei Torah, the open Orthodox program in Riverdale. He would absolutely refuse. No. That's not part of the pale of Orthodox Judaism, and he refused to give smicha to anyone who's a student of them. But, so he would have some background, he would ask ahead of, beforehand, but okay, there is a difference between a private smicha and an institutional smicha. He would give tests. Interestingly, he would give tests relative to what the person was going to do. If you were going to be involved, a rabbi in chinuch, or somebody in Kirov, and you're not a rav posek giving over halacha, he would be a little more lenient on what he would require you to learn and the testing itself. But someone was going to be a rav, going to be a posek, there he upped the game and gave a tougher smicha. Even to the degree there was a story one of his sons told over that there was someone who was going to be a rav in a far-flung spot in today's Russia. And basically, Zalman Nehemia said, the only types of shaylas this person is going to get is, when do I light the yahrzeit candle for my mother? Nothing really major in halacha. He said he gave smicha to a person who all he made him do was study Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Comes back to Kitzur again. He felt, look, this person, Zalman Nehemia's perspective was, this person is going to serve in a rabbinic role. He should feel like a rabbi. I'll give him smicha. And he was less nervous of bad ramifications coming out from the fact he's called a rabbi, but doesn't have the same training and background as others. Now, obviously, you know, there'll be other positions on such an action. You know, my yeshiva wouldn't do that. But okay, that's the difference, perhaps, between an institutional smicha and a private smicha. But I'll tell one story, which I saw also one of the family set over. It was a bachur learning in yeshiva, and he was already married, learning, but he was learning, I would say, it was half-baked. That's, it seems how the story describes him. And the person was ready to leave and go off to his next endeavor after spending time in yeshiva. But the younger man's father wanted him to get smicha. And he pushed him, why don't you go take a test, study for smicha, you know, take from Zam Nechamil's test, get smicha from him. The Maisa, just the act of working to get smicha, changed this Kol guy's appreciation of Torah, and he went from someone half-baked in learning to someone who was fully in learning. And studying for smicha changed him. Today, that person is a chash of a rav. And the father was very makar tov to Rabbi Zalman Nechemia. Changing. I remember in yeshiva, you know, Rabbi Neiman Zatzal would push. You know, not everyone would qualify for the yeshiva's rigorous smicha. But he would encourage guys who learned for years to take a private smicha. Because again, just the going through the motions to master even just small areas of Shulchan Aruch is a very, very, being tested on things, is a very tremendous thing for a person. And, you know, the many people that walk out of yeshiva never have smicha. It is something which is a laudable thing to do. So that was Reb Zalman Nechemia and smicha. And the final area in halacha, which I think is quite fascinating, is what I call the Kiryat Bells to Tinek. We already mentioned a story involving the Belzer Rebbe, who considered Zalman Nechemia the authority for these infertility shilas, Eben Azar. We already mentioned already one Rav from Tinek, Rav Chaim Jachter, who was very close to him, and he connected with so many people. I found a hesped given in Chappelle's yeshiva, Darchei Noam. It's a wonderful Baal Tshuva yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, where Yaakov Kamenetsky has a grandson, Rabbi Shurin, who spoke over there. You see how he just broke down crying when he talked about Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, somebody who the world maybe in mass didn't know, but someone who just was so accepted and taught Torah across all boundaries. You know, it's amazing. You know, for a Rav to give share in Sadigar, Bells, wherever, and Karen Biavna and Shalvin. You know, I heard, I listened to a hesped from this Rabbi Yonah Reese, actually a cousin of mine's brother. He's today the Av Beis Din of the CRC in Chicago. He took over for Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Zatzal, even in his lifetime. This is Rosh Hashiva YU. Yonah Reese, I think he was learning in either Karen Biavna or Shalvim, and he was working on a chabur on some topic. One of the Rebbeim says, you see that person learning in front of the Beis Medrash? He knows everything. That's Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. Why don't you ask him for, tell him what topic you do, I'm sure he'll give you a great Maror Makom. Like, yeah, he was giving a share, he was sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash there. To show such godless is amazing. I believe I came across two stories which could depict and help us understand how Zalman Nechemia was able to do this and be so driven to teach Torah in all these spots. So one story, so written in the Ated, about Tchelas. Zalman Nechemia was somebody who wore Tchelas. I saw this listing of different Gedolim who were pro, against, most of the mainstream Gedolim were against. But Zalman Nechemya did hold of it, so much so he wore it. And to go through the whole Sugya of Tcheles, I believe by Sharfman Zatzal has a few shirim on it. But someone once asked Zalman Nechemya, like, you know, how's he do it? Nobody else does it. And he said, you know, I went through the Sugya of Tcheles, and I went through the Sugya without any Negias. I wasn't trying to fit into a certain mold. I wanted to see what the Sugya says without being biased in any way. And my conclusion, doing the Sugya that way, is a person should wear Tcheles. That story shows he was a very strong, independent person. He did what was right and didn't care about where that, how that makes him look. I'll look different than the rest of the Haredi world because I wear blue fringes. So be it. I'll be different than the rest of the Haredi world where I give shirim and stuff. So be it. I'm here to teach Torah. And on the one hand, we mentioned before, he was a tremendous anuf. He was so normal. He was so simple. But you need a certain, it wasn't just the anivus. It was probably this strength of spirit. I'm going to do what's right, and I don't care, to my knowledge. And how it makes me look is not a cheshbon. But I think there's another aspect that could explain how Zalman Nechemya was able to, was driven, it's probably the better word, to teach Torah in all segments of Orthodox Judaism, all stripes, all colors. Rav Mordechai Willig, the way he talked about Zalman Nechemya, the cover that he felt he got from Zalman Nechemya, he was so machshev what Rav Willig was doing to his community in Riverdale and in YU. And this story I came across from none other than Zalman Nechemya himself. There's a Sefer Zichron called Mevakshei Torah. I remember the author, Rav Roida, lives in Sanhedrin Merchevet with Lord in the Beis Medrash and Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim. I think when he published the Sefer, it was a Sefer Zichron for Shlomo Zalman. He made a Suda right there in the yeshiva dining hall. That's where I think Zalman Nechemya probably came to that event. I have pictures from my parents' house. I remember taking the Gedolim sitting there. But in that Sefer, it gives a hesped that Zalman Nechemya gave for his father-in-law, for Shlomo Zalman. And we mentioned how close they were. Mordechai Willig said he felt that Shlomo Zalman's heir was Rav Zalman Nechemya, because Rav Shlomo Zalman was also the person who did what was right across spectrums, maybe not as much as Rav Zalman Nechemya, but very much Rav Zalman Nechemya was very similar to his father-in-law. And Rav Zalman Nechemya is giving a hesped on his father-in-law. One of Rav Shlomo Zalman's most famous works is a Sefer Ma'orei Eish, which came out decades and decades ago, turn of the 20th century. Shlomo Zalman, a young Talmud Chacham, wrote a Sefer on electricity. And that became the starting point for all halacha, before Moshe wrote Tshuvas on it, before Chazon Ish, anything. Shlomo Zalman's Ma'orei Eish became an absolute classic, his understanding of electricity. Zalman Nechemya knew, why did Shlomo Zalman write that Sefer? Why did he get so involved in this sugya, in this new halachic issue of electricity? Till that point, the early 1900s, it wasn't debated yet well. And he wrote an entire sefer on the concept. Zalman Nechemya revealed in that hesped, it was because Shlomo Zalman's mother was hard of hearing. And they're debating, should she get a hearing aid? So Shlomo Zalman, he saw there's a need for his mother, that drove him to go through that sugya and go through those halachas and ultimately write an amazing sefer to teach Klal Yisrael the halachas of electricity. I believe of Zalman Nechemiah Soa, you know, there are segments of Klal Yisrael that people are not reaching. There are segments of Klal Yisrael that can benefit from his psak halacha, from his gaonis. That drove him. And the impact that he had across the board, from Kiryat Belz to Teaneck, is something, a legacy, which I think is a wonderful legacy to learn about, to understand. And Bez Hashem, Klal Yisrael should be zocha to have more people like Zalman Nechemiah that want to teach Torah across the board. Thank you very much for listening. Wish everyone a wonderful week. Kol Tov.